Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
And thank you for that introduction, Chief Iggy. This is Mud Toast Sasquatch, and you're listening to my program, The Midnight Garden, with Mud Toast Sasquatch, also known as the Uncommon Shaman. I invite you to join me tonight in the Midnight Garden, where we will sit between the lemons and the loganberries and speak of things not spoken of. Actually, probably are spoken of, I've just forgotten. In any case, if you've seen the tagline of the show today, you may have recognized it from The Wizard of Oz. If I were king of the forest, not queen, not duke, not prince, from the Cowardly Lion song of the same title, If I Were King of the Forest. I had not realized this until recently. I read this. I can't remember exactly where, but the Cowardly Lion, as depicted in the film version of The Wizard of Oz, was a well-known vaudeville motif, the tough guy with the heart of gold. And he has the sort of odd vocal, as the accent, sort of the urban accent you can't quite place. And doesn't seem to know too much, doesn't seem to want to know too much, but always comes through for his friends in the end. And that, of course, was the Cowardly Lion as portrayed by Burt Lahr in that wonderful film from all those years ago. Don't know what it was in particular that put me in mind of that. Sometimes you just have to think of something to type on that tagline, because they won't let you make the episode. They won't let you send it to the computer so they can put it out and give you one of those magical Tobter, whatever that is, .com lines there, so that you can find the show on the internet. Today's show is tobter.com/s, or I guess it's a /s/102896031. By the way, I noticed this a little bit ago, actually a couple weeks ago, and I keep forgetting to note it. Tobter, whatever it is, T-O-B-T-R, they have reached a milestone. They are up to 8 digits on their little serial numbers there. It's 10289631. So at some point in the recent past, they went over 10 million, a little shortened. Those are little, I keep forgetting what those things are. Those little web addresses, those things that you type into the command line there. It's not called a command line. They have different names for everything now. But they put you put that in there, or you cut and paste it into the little window and click, and it takes you to the specific. Takes you to the specific place on the internet. But a lot of those are just way too long for people to remember. So they have these services. There are a few of them now, where they'll take your long web address and turn it into a much shorter web address. And that's what they have done here, and they've created our very long web address, whatever it was, to a shorter, much more manageable one. So kudos to them for thinking of that. I hope they also figured out a way to make money off of it. I think you have to sign up for it, and you probably have to look at ads or something. I don't know. Hope so, or they'll go the way of Snapchat, although Snapchat is still out there, isn't it? Still out there entertaining us, even though nobody's figured out how to make money off of it yet. But anyway, thank you for coming to the Midnight Garden tonight. The big event this past week was exam week for the medical students, and I got to work 3 days, accumulated 27 hours, so I will be able to pay my bills next month. Yay. For those of you who haven't listened to the show before, what I'm talking about is I'm a standardized patient at the nearby medical school. And people ask me, is that a guinea pig? Well, almost, not quite. What happens is a professor from the medical school will come up with a scenario that they want to use. It's like a test question for the medical students. And they teach it to us SPs. Like say the test is cirrhosis of the liver. They teach us what all the symptoms are. And then we learn that. And the medical students during the test come and ask us, you know, what's wrong? And we tell them what all our symptoms are. And the medical student then is supposed to divine that we have cirrhosis. And if they do that correctly, they get points. They're also graded for the way they talk to us. So they're also, the doctors are all supposed to be learning how to be friendly and courteous and kind and all of that. It's fun. It is a lot of fun. I enjoy doing it. And I wish there were more hours available so that I could do it actually for a living. Unfortunately, it doesn't quite rise to that level. But as long as I'm still trying to piece things together here, it's a good way to keep things going. As long as the requisite hours come in and are available. See, I might not get it. This is, first of all, let me explain the OSSE. What we're doing is the big exam that all the medical students take. We also do smaller events. It's just like a small group of the medical students who are in a classroom situation. But this is the one that you want as an SP because you're there for a concentrated number of hours, and it's really much more worth your while to be there. First one I've had in, I think, since last March, because, of course, during the summer, school's out of session, so we don't have any at all. And then around August, September starts to pick up again, but I'm not sure if there was an OSCE last month or not. There are six during the year, six big events for each of four different classes, first year, second year, third year, fourth year. I'm not sure how much the fourth years do, but anyway, and then I'm a middle-aged man, and they have to need middle-aged men. If they don't have a case that has middle-aged men in it, I don't get a call. And usually there's four people doing the same case, and so we all get together and we get trained together to make sure we're all doing it the same way. See, that's a big deal too. So anyway, I get up very early in the morning because I got to be there at 7:30, and usually work till 5:30. It's a long day, and all of that repetition can get old. You know, doing the same. I would see on a full day, you'd see 18 students in a day. I've done one that was a longer day, was had an extra session, so I saw 21 students in a day, and they were doing a neurological exam, which is the one where you got to, you know, look left, look right, shine the light in your eye, get up, walk across the room, come back, walk on your heels, walk on your toes, and then they do all of your reflexes. They go after you with that hammer, and I tell you, when you get to case number 21, it's like, get away from me with that hammer. But, of course, I didn't. Of course, I was good, always the professional, ready to be helpful at all times. So that was my one day. I mean, that takes up most of the week, doesn't it? If you go back to the weekend before, we had what was the day we had? It seems to me we had one day that was very rainy, and I thought it might break the heat. But alas, it did not. And it's still rather hot, and it's expected to be rather hot through Wednesday, although I see they're backing off of the prediction of the high temperature on Wednesday. It keeps falling a little bit, so perhaps the front is accelerating towards our fair state, and maybe we will get out of one day of this nasty heat. I was going to go walk in the forest with my friend Twilight Evening Star today, but we conferenced by phone and determined that it should be a red flag day, like the Marines have. Just below, I don't know if the Marines have them. I know the Army has them in training camp or their boot camp. If they're down there in Fort Benning, Georgia, and if the if the temperature gets too high, they don't work outside that day. Then, of course, the question then is asked, well, what happens if they're in Iraq and the temperature gets too high? But never mind. They're just in training. Twyla and I decided that it was a red flag day. You know, put the red flag out. Nobody comes outside today. And we went and walked at the grocery store instead, where it's air conditioned. And had, actually, I think this is the last time we talked. We had a discussion about, because she's very, I won't say upset. That's too strong a word. She's confused by the fact that, or she feels that I'm not diligent enough about trying to find work. Maybe I'm being too picky. And there's something to be said for that. But regular work, I mean, 40 hours a week. Because they have, what occasioned the discussion is they have these constant open interviews, which ought to tell you something, that they're always having open interviews for cashiers and other people at Meijer. Now, it's not that, you know, I wouldn't feel dishonored, you know, by having to work behind a cash register. On the other hand, I did, you know, 8 years of college and picked up 2 degrees. So I wouldn't have to stand behind, you know, a cash register or press bricks or whatever. So I'm not saying that I look down at all upon people who can do that. My Aunt Debbie worked at a GE lamp plant for over 30 years, and her job was like picking up a lamp, putting it in a test fixture. You know, marking down yes or no, and putting the lamp in another box, and just, you know, that constant moving. And she's going into surgery. I thought the post said tomorrow, but that doesn't make any sense because tomorrow is Saturday. She must have met today or maybe Monday. But anyway, she's going. My cousin, my aunt's daughter, posted that she's getting ready to go into surgery for a knee replacement. Now this is on the heels of a hip replacement she had last year. And in preparation for a second hip replacement that the knee replacement is going to help out with. So all of that bend, twist over the years took its toll. And so, I mean, you see why. All I got is maybe a little bit of carpal tunnel from all the typing I've done. That is a hazard, though. Carpal tunnel is for real. Don't poo-poo the old carpal tunnel. But anyway, I had, and I reported on this, I believe, in the last show, that I had made a serious attempt to get back into the job hunt on the real retail side. Last year, I had been doing a lot of beating of the bushes for retail, and had not had a lot of luck. This most recent time, I had a friend who was a manager and who felt that she could help get me in there if I would go on the internet and fill out the requisite paperwork, which is usually what stops me. I get into filing the paperwork and I will reach something that either is not designed particularly well and I can't quite figure out what they're trying to tell me. Or sometimes something in there just doesn't work at all. Usually I run into at least one or two roadblocks if I'm lucky. If I'm not lucky, then they're all roadblocks. But this particular, I think I'm retelling the story, aren't I? I was just going to skip to the end, but then I started retelling the story. So I'll go ahead and skip to the end. They didn't like my scores on their intelligence test. They had a different word for it. And I had interpreted that, and my friend also had interpreted that, as meaning that I didn't score high enough. And I was like, I don't know how that, and I'm going to sound like I'm tooting my own horn here, but I was there while I was taking the test. I didn't have any, you know, I would have bet $20 solid that I didn't miss any of the questions. You know, there was nothing in there that I even really had to think about. So either I'm totally off base, or I don't know how to, I wasn't clicking right, which is a possibility. Or they were being disingenuous in some way when they reported their analysis of the test. And then it occurred to me, they didn't say, I mean, we jumped to the assumption, we jumped to the conclusion that they thought the test scores were too low. But they just said the test scores are not what we look for, which makes me wonder if my test scores were too high. We're just, you know, these can't, you know, too educated, too intelligent, can't use you. And I think that's, I mean, I see reasons for that. I mean, the chief one being, and this is what someone else in retail told me, was, you know, the second something better comes along, I'm going to be gone. And that's right. I would be. So I guess that could be, you know, some sort of detector for that. But I think, you know, mainly, I mean, they're looking for kids. They're looking for kids who are trying to save up for a car. You know, someone who's career-minded, someone who has their own ideas, someone who may ask disturbing questions. Probably not what they're looking for in that position. So it becomes difficult for me because the old bugaboo man, overqualified. You don't hear that word too often anymore. It's kind of come out of vogue. People won't say it anymore. But it's definitely out there, overqualified. Just I put together too much, man. Too much college, too much work experience. Now I'm a thinking person with you know, notions and ideas, and that's just not good for an employee. And I say that tongue in cheek. I think it would be excellent for an employee, but I don't think most employers feel that way. So there I am. What to do, what to do, what to do. The only thing I'm really seriously thinking about in the moment, and I need to start thinking because at the very least I have to get Christmas seasonal retail, which I would think would be easier to get than, you know, it's when you work in the back or something, maybe even just haul packages around or whatever, because, you know, they're going to get rid of you after Christmas anyway. I don't know, is there a census coming up? I think we're still a few years away from that, aren't we? My brother did the census last time, and he said that was weird. He didn't have to. He did a few times. He got the duty where you had to walk around to houses and see if people were home and get them to answer the census. And I guess they had someone injured. It wasn't my brother, but someone he knew was attacked by somebody inside the house where he was trying to gather information. My thought, you know, I know a couple people here in my city that did that. So a lot of my friends are psychics, and one of my psychic friends worked temporary for the census, because psychics need to work temporary. Being a psychic generally doesn't pay very well unless you're on TV. Oh, can you hear my helicopter? Looking for somebody. Looking to find somebody. Wow. Oh, you know what? They're going to the hospital. That's life flight. Yeah, they're gonna land. They have a hospital about a block and a half from me, and I think life flight's coming in with one here. Yeah. Wow. There they go. We won't see too much of that more like in the next. Well, I guess the emergency room is staying. They're taking our hospital away. They're taking our hospital away and moving it to the hospital itself is going to be in a much sexier place. That's what's happening. There's sort of a a campaign, a concerted effort to get low income people to move out of the city because, you know, we're definitely a drag on everybody else. So rather than, you know, solve the problem of poverty, they just want to push everybody out to somewhere else. So, you know, low income housing is being torn down, and amenities are being, you know, reasons for being in places are being eliminated. And one of those things is we only had a hospital in our community, which we're not going to have anymore. We will still have an emergency room though. So, life flight might still be a coming. And we get used to life flight at the university hospital where I do most of my work, as there's life flight coming in there all the time. I think I did a show. I'm not sure if I ever broadcast. I remember taping a show, sitting in my car at the, on the top floor of the parking garage. And that's right across from the helipad where the Life Flight lands. And there was one there. I recorded that show. I can't remember, because that was during the time when Iggy had set something wrong, and he won't admit it. He said it was me that sent something wrong, but it's illogical because the website was playing his show instead of mine. So you're supposed to, you can set the website supposedly to play a show automatically. And I had said to do that because I wasn't going to be, you know, around. I wasn't going to be available at the time the show was regularly supposed to air. And off went Iggy's show instead of mine. And then the next week, I was doing a live show from my telephone. I was at my parents' house, and I didn't have the receiver up to my ear, but I kept hearing another voice. And I put my phone next to my ear, and in the phone was Iggy's show again. And then this happened a third time when I tried to play the recorded show that I didn't get to play. 3 weeks in a row, Iggy's recorded show played instead of my recorded show. And then finally, I just went through the archive line by line, and eliminated all the check marks. And then made sure that mine was the only one that was checkmarked, and then it finally worked. That Iggy would not admit any culpability in that, and perhaps he wasn't. Maybe it was something that I checked, but it seemed odd that it was always his show that was playing instead of mine. Kind of like there's this guy. I was married the second time. I was with my second wife. We bought a house to fix up. And we had to have all of the heating and cooling replaced. And so the heating and cooling guy came in and says, okay, you're all set. And we had two units, one for each floor. And the one on the second floor worked, but the one on the first floor didn't work at all. And so we called him up, and they said, well, it's okay. It'll work its way in. Don't worry about it. Well, you know, it didn't work its way in. So we called him out, and he went up, you know, to the attic where all the controls were, and he came down. Like after 2 minutes, he says, everything is fine. And he turned it on and it worked. He's like, see, everything's okay. Now, you know what happened. He left something up there, you know, turned off that should have been turned on, or he left his screwdriver sitting in there and something was blocked, you know, and he wasn't going to admit it. He wasn't going to admit that he had screwed it up. So he just came down and tried to make us feel stupid. But I know in my heart that thing wasn't working right. And that was that time to kind of bring this around to the back around to the warm weather. We had a very bad heat wave that year, which is one reason why the air conditioning not working was such a problem. I think I told a little bit of this. Maybe I told the whole thing last week. I just never remember what I've told from week to week. So I'll just jump to the end. We stood out in the front yard of our house, watching the cold front come in and drive away all of this ridiculously hot and humid weather we've been experiencing for several weeks at that point. And in my city in the Northwest, my large city in the Northwest here, we've been experiencing much the same thing, as sort of a late autumn attack of summer weather, because it started to cool down. We had it down the 60s and gray skies and rain and all that, which, you know, I was very happy to see, and my sun merchant friends were not. And then for some reason, who knows why, it turned, may have something to do with all the hurricanes. I don't know. I think it'd be a good bet. Anything weird happening with the weather has something to do with the hurricanes. But we got this late September heat wave. It's been over 80 degrees every day. And it's never gotten below 70 degrees at night, which is very bad for my air conditioner. It's not my air conditioner is not particularly powerful. So when it gets to the, you know, that point where it's, you know, getting into the high 80s every day and never getting below 70 at night, the air conditioner gets to this point where it's just running all the time. and not really getting very far. So I have to find, places to hide. Now this week, I was at work 3 days, so that was a pretty, I mean, that worked out well. Where was I yesterday? I know I was out and about yesterday. I can't remember. I was supposed to go. Twyla and I were supposed to go to an art class. We're signed up for an adult education art class at the university, which I'm really looking forward to. I haven't taken a class in a while. It's not for credit or anything, but we're going to do some interesting art things, I'm told. She did it last year. But then I think I just had other – oh, I went to the theater because, again, Twyla and I are going to go see a short film festival next week. And I went to the theater to see if the tickets were available yet. I gathered some additional information. So while I was there, I did some other things, and then I just made a day of it so that I wouldn't be melting in my apartment. Because if it gets to that point where the air conditioning is just running and running, I turn it off. This isn't really doing any good anyway, and then I try and find a place to hide. Well, my trusty friend, the weatherman, one of our weathermen here in my city, is an old high school classmate of mine. He tells me now that he tells everybody because he's on TV that the weather's going to break on Wednesday. And of course, I always get concerned. I want to set my sights on Wednesday because it may creep into the next day. But at the moment, it looks like it's creeping in the other direction. It looks like the temperatures on Wednesday originally had been predicted for 88. Now they're predicted at 83. So it looks like that cold front is creeping in the correct direction. Now we'll just keep our fingers crossed that we don't have some sort of reversal or some sort of, weather strike. The weather gods become angry. I used to teach when I was teaching. I used to teach a unit on weather in an earth science class. And I'd be teaching, and then I'd be thinking as I was teaching it, God, I didn't know that. I didn't know that's how front worked and all that. And, weather seemed to be something that my guys would get into. I taught boys who were in drug rehab, teenage boys who were in drug rehab, and they were an interesting bunch of young men. But the weather seemed to interest them, I think, because, it had a direct effect on them. So many other for school subjects are esoteric, even for a higher SES, more motivated student, let alone for someone who's facing jail time. But they seem to have, the weather, they knew about the weather and they knew it affected them. So they were, I think this is my supposition. I believe that held their interest for that reason. So we tended to linger on the weather. it was nice to have them paying a little bit of attention, and then we would have English assignments on the weather too, so it would make everything work out. Okay, we got our 90-second warning, so it's time for me to say goodnight. Thank you for listening. Next week, I don't know what I'm going to talk about next week because not a lot is happening. I got no work scheduled. I'll be going to that short film festival, and that'll be like right before the show. So maybe I'll talk about that. Or maybe I'll just take a trip out into the city with my digital recorder and make a remote show. Who knows what's going to happen? It's just a barrel of laughs here at the Midnight Garden. Thank you once again for joining me, and have a pleasant good evening.